Welcome back to the Lawn Hustle Podcast, where we dig deep into the tools, the mindset, and the strategies to help you grow not just your lawn care business, but your voice and your influence in the green industry. I am your host, Andy Wilson, with 16 years of experience in the green industry. And today we have a special guest with us. We're sitting down with Mr. Producer. Thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle.
I have been looking forward to this, Andy. I know we were supposed to record last week, but you came down with some health issues that you had to deal with that you were telling me about before we got started here. I've met you a couple of times there in the media suite at Equip, and you've always had real kind things to say as you've introduced yourself, and I'm just thrilled that we have a little bit of time today for an extended conversation.
Yes, sir. I have been looking forward to this, and when you messaged me today about if we were still on for tonight, I knew I had a podcast at 5. I just wasn't really sure what your name was, because I've always known you as Mr. Producer. So when I got my email notification, it come up with your name, and I was thinking, I've double scheduled and we got a problem, but I'm so glad that it worked out. So for those that don't know you, for those that don't know you, can you share with us your background and what got you into the world of producing podcast? Because I know you produce the Green Industry Podcast. You produce the LCR Summit Podcast, Brian Fullerton, the Green Side Up Podcast, and many more. So I am delighted to have you on the show, but tell us your background. What got you started?
I think I produce all podcasts except for the Lawn Hustle Podcast. That guy I've just had the hardest time connecting with. But, in fact, I was totaling it up the other day. I think I'm producing now about 14 podcasts with a big announcement of a 15th one coming soon from a major player inside of the green industry. So can't spill the beans just yet on what organization that is, but I'm very excited to be working with somebody that's got a big-time vision and big-time budget for doing a really quality podcast. But thanks for the opportunity just to tell a little bit about myself. I am Mr. Producer. Many of you know me as Marty, Mr. Producer, from the podcast with Brian and Paul, which is sort of how I got started in this iteration of podcasting. I've been around podcasting for a little over 20 years, and I'll get into some of that backstory if the time and the schedule permits. Just a little bit of background on myself. I just retired after 43 years in radio broadcasting, so that's what got me into the auditory audio business there at the age of 16 is when I first got started. In fact, I think you and I are probably the same age. Are you class of 83?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think I'd seen like a 1965 in one of your email addresses, and that's the same year that I was born. So I got started in the business back in 1982 and just recently retired. But how this line of work as Mr. Producer got started was because of working with Paul Jameson. He and I both worked for the same radio station just north of Atlanta there in Cumming, Georgia, and our shifts often overlapped. And so we not only became colleagues, but we became friends as we would spend time mainly ribbing each other over college football. He's a Ohio State Buckeye fan. I'm a Georgia Bulldog, and so we had a lot of fun trading barbs back and forth. But one day, Paul came to me and said, listen, I've got a friend coming into town who we later learned was Naylor Taliaferro, and he's been encouraging me to start a podcast, and I'm just not sure the management here at the radio station will let me have a guest in during my shift and then use the studio to record a podcast. Would you intervene? So I gladly went to management and sort of pled Paul's case, and they gave the thumbs up for him to sit down with Naylor and record what became his first two episodes of the Green Industry Podcast. Well, a couple of months had passed. I didn't give it another thought, but one day Paul came to me and said, listen, my podcast is getting a lot of feedback from people, but the number one complaint is that people can't hear the conversation over the sound of the lawnmowers. Can you help me do something to improve the sound? And I, since he's my friend and I love to help people, naturally I said yes. And with the background in radio production, I knew all the settings in the software and what needed to happen to apply some just good principles of audio compression to bring those levels up and balance them out. And Paul said people immediately noticed a difference, and he asked if I'd work with them on a regular basis. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And he always referenced his producer. This even goes back to his days, Andy, when he was on the radio. He would just all of a sudden be talking and then stop and say, Mr. Producer, can you bring me this record? Or, you know, Mr. Producer, what's going on out there in the hallway? And I actually, as somebody involved in talent development, used to chastise him. Listen, we don't have imaginary friends that we talk to on the radio. This, you know, let's not do this. And yet, here I've adopted the persona of his, what used to be an imaginary producer, but became a real producer. And that sort of gave an interesting mystique to everything, is because initially everyone just assumed that it was an imaginary friend. And then one day I showed up on the scene, and I can even remember a day when he handed the phone to Brian Fullerton, who swore Mr. Producer wasn't real. And all of a sudden I was having a conversation with him, and he was going, oh my gosh, this guy sounds just like he does on your show. You must really have a producer. So I don't want to just go on and on without giving you the opportunity to jump in with clarifying questions, because I, with a background in radio, could probably talk a lot longer than you want me to. But that's sort of the genesis of getting with Paul on his podcast.
Well, podcasting has exploded in the last decade. From your perspective, why do you think podcasting has become so powerful for brands, service companies, and everyday people with something to say?
I think the explosion can largely be attributed to COVID. I think it's universally held that podcasting experienced a rebirth, although it's been around since the early 2000s. And in fact, I alluded earlier that I had been involved in podcasting from a very early time. Working at a radio station one day when we got snowed in, when that happens, you just tend to start going through all the radio trade magazines, reading articles to pass the time away. And I came across this article about podcasting. Some people might remember the name Adam Curry. He was an MTV VJ. He's sort of considered the pod father of the industry because he figured out the technology of how to connect audio files, MP3 audio files, to RSS feeds, or really simple syndication, as a way of transferring information automatically. And of course, this became pods for the old iPods. You remember the old iPod? You could hook that up into your charging station, connect it to some RSS feeds, and overnight while you slept, it would download through your computer podcast recordings of people that were doing podcasts so that you could listen on your iPod, thus the name. And so I got in very early Had the opportunity to be interviewed by the New York Times and the BBC over there in the UK. I started a Christian music podcast where I was showcasing new Christian music that was available. So I wasn't really worried about the copyright laws and all of those things. I was just excited to share something I was personally excited about and really saw that take off. So that was sort of the first iteration of podcasting. It experienced that rebirth or revival with what we saw with COVID and everybody being locked in and having all this time to figure out what to do. But I think the real answer to your question, not only are people looking for human connection, I mean, nothing's more powerful than the human voice. I think there's also a bit of a backlash against short form programming. It's still popular. Everybody is still scrolling, doom scrolling on their devices, looking at 10 second and 15 second clips. But I think so many of us have been burned as we've watched the news, and they'll play a 15-second clip of a politician saying something and build a whole narrative around that. When you go back and look at the original recording, he or she didn't say what the 15-second clip made you think that they were saying. So I think there is a need for this long-form programming, and people are looking for it because it establishes a level of trust and veracity to the conversation, because now I'm getting to hear you for 30 minutes or an hour. I'm not just hearing what the head puppet on TV is saying the 15-second clip meant. At least that's my take. So I don't know if that resonates with you or not, but I think that people are looking for something more. And in this industry, I believe it's been powerful because of all of the mower time that the guys have. Unlike a lot of industries where the average person listens to a podcast as they're on their commute to and from work. So let's just call that 2 hours a day that you have available. Over the road truckers, they have a lot of time to listen to podcasts. But guys on mowers, 8 or 9 hours a day, it gets lonely, and you want to hear somebody else talking about the same things you would be talking about with your friends if you could have a conversation while you were on a lawnmower.
I listen to podcasts frequently every day, like you said, when I'm out mowing, working. I listen to the Green Industry podcast. I listen to Naylor's podcast. I listen to the Green Side Up podcast, Brian Fullerton. Most of the ones that you produce, I listen to. And I have gained such knowledge from those hosts. They have made my life and my business much better, because I find that not only are they giving me business advice, they're giving me life advice. And I can take that advice and apply it to my life. Like Paul Jamison, in his last book, Level Up Your Money, those affirmations that he speaks over his life. I've started doing that, and it has made me feel better. It's made me, I think, be a kinder, more gentle person. So I appreciate these men, taking time to do a podcast and give those that are out there working something to listen to that will help their life be better and their business be better. So let me ask you.
I just don't think you could find the quality of education. I'm sorry, Andy, I interrupted you. Please go ahead.
That's all right. I was going to ask you, when someone comes to you and says, I would like to start a podcast, what's the first thing you would tell them to focus on?
Well, in the words of Cuba Gooding Jr. from Jerry Maguire, show me the money. No, obviously, I'm kidding about that. That isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is can I genuinely help? And the type of client that I have found that I work best with is somebody who understands that the value of their time is much greater than the time they would spend doing all the things that, I can do easily because I've been doing it for four decades. And so finding somebody who's not a hobbyist, but somebody who has a vision for how podcasting fits into their overarching plan of what they want to do with their business, their media company, their opportunity to become a speaker, to hold events like Brian does, to do like the academy that he does. So somebody who understands podcasting is an essential part of where they would like to get to, but they also understand they don't need to spend 2 hours a week trying to learn how to use audio editing software and how to deal with the nuances of why this program didn't upload properly to a podcasting platform. Those are the people that I found that my services really benefit.
What separates a well-produced show from an average show?
I've already alluded to the fact that in this particular industry of lawn care, that there are some advantages to producing a podcast with audio levels that might be reminiscent of what the radio sounded like in the 1980s when everything was heavily compressed and there was lots of limiting on the audio so that it just pushed that audio forward so that it could compete with the sound of tires going down the road. So back in the day of radio, you produced the signal so that the noise of the car didn't overrun the radio station. If you've ever been in a car and you've listened to what I would call a top 40 pop or rock station, it always was much louder than the NPR station. The NPR station, sometimes you'd have to turn the volume up and down just to hear what they were saying versus the mainstream dominant stations that knew we've got to have this superior sounding signal and processing on the signal. So there is that aspect of producing, which really is in my wheelhouse, but producing can be so much more than just what you're doing from a technical standpoint. It can also be the coaching that you give, the format that you choose for a podcast. There's just so much that can make or break a podcast. In fact, I would say this just to encourage you. Years ago, especially going back to the world of radio, the quality of the voice was often the most important thing. But that's not what really connects with people. What connects with people is the authenticity of the message. I guess the example that I use is Bob Dylan's voice. You're old enough to remember Bob Dylan, and this guy's got one of the potentially worst voices you've ever heard in terms of what traditionalists would say is a good voice, but yet he spoke to a generation of people because his style and his message cut through in a way that Sinatra and Crosby and all of those guys who had the perfect crooner's voice didn't connect with a younger and a new generation. So I really say all of that to say it's not about the quality of the voice as it is the content of what you're doing and your ability to clearly communicate. Something I wish I could do better at times, but I just want to encourage you because I was listening to your episode with Naylor the other day on the LCR Media podcast, and I was getting your backstory of the cancer that was wrapped around your vocal cords. And
right.
Ask you that question because you have a unique voice. And I knew, okay, something has probably happened. Now I know the story, but you haven't let that stop you from using a very intimate medium to communicate because people know who you are. They know you're the real deal. They can hear the message that you're saying. They're not wondering, boy, is that guy got a silky, smooth, syrupy voice that could, you know, sell baking soda on the television? That's irrelevant with what we're talking about here. So That maybe is a long way to say something else, but it does start with quality audio. But more than that, do you know where you're going with your episode? Are you just getting on to chit chat? Maybe there's value in that. Or do you know where you'd like? It's like a sermon. If you've ever been to church and you've heard someone preach, somebody who's organized and knows how to drive home main points and wrap it up for you with a call to action, that's a much more effective sermon than waking up after 45 minutes and going, is he over yet? You know, God, I hope so.
Well, I appreciate that because it just gives me some reassurance to keep doing what I'm doing. This episode will be my 100th episode, and I can't think of a better person to celebrate this 100 recording than with you. So I appreciate your encouragement. I appreciate your support. And I wanted to start my podcast a long time ago, but I was intimidated, a little fearful to start because of my voice. But now, 100 episodes in, and people are reaching out to me almost daily, getting emails or text messages or phone calls, people thanking me for an episode and what I had to say or what the guest had to say. So I'm encouraged. The podcast is doing well. We're getting a lot of downloads every episode, so it is really growing. And I'm encouraged, and I want to keep going and give it my best. And let me ask you this. What are some biggest mistakes that you see new podcasters make?
One, not getting started. Everybody sort of had the idea at one point in time, boy, I should have a podcast. I've always wanted to talk about a subject that is interesting to me, and then you just don't ever follow through on that. So I encourage everybody to have a podcast. I don't know if it's like swimming where everybody needs to learn how to swim. Maybe podcasting is not life and death, but we all like to talk. We all like to talk about the things that are interesting to us. I used to say everybody's favorite radio station, Andy, was WIIFM. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
And when you know that you've got something you're personally passionate about, there's going to be other people just as passionate. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a podcast about people who collect old socks. Yeah. Now, to you and me, that might seem like a very boring topic, but somebody likes collecting antique socks, and I'll bet you there's a podcast out there dedicated to that. So I certainly would encourage people to start something, if for no other reason than to practice your public communication skills. Everybody hates public speaking. They're scared to death of public speaking. But the truth is, we all have to speak at some level, even if that's just, you know, convincing the police officer that you appreciate his service and hope he lets you off with a warning and not a speeding ticket, or it's making a proposal to your to the woman who you want to be your fiance and hope that she'll marry you one day. You know, there's value in having good communication skills. The nice thing is the barrier to entry has come down. For someone of our age, if you wanted to have a show, you had to have a radio show or a TV show. You had to go into a radio studio or an expensive Hollywood studio where there was the right equipment to be able to produce something like this. Here you and I'm sitting in my living room. Are you sitting in your closet or your basement? Where are you sitting right now?
I'm in my office.
Okay, so here we are in non-traditional spaces carrying on a conversation that is going to be heard by people in auditory form. You might use some of the video to repurpose content. So the barrier to entry, because of the advances in technology and the way today we can just have these Riverside calls or Zoom calls or whatever platform you want to use, there's really no reason not to find who your tribe is. Somebody else is interested in the same things that you are, and that's one of the benefits of podcasting is you get to discover who are these like-minded people that live thousands of miles away at times, but yet you have more in kindred spirits with them than you do the guy next door. So the way the world has shrunk, it's no longer about just your circle of friends that meet for coffee at McDonald's on Tuesday morning. It's the people that download your podcast every day and then reach out to you and start that iron sharpening iron aspect. So I hope that's helpful to somebody. My main point, get started.
Absolutely. Let's take a short break and hear a word from my show sponsor.
Tired of chasing payments and losing track of jobs? EarthaPro back office software makes it simple for solo guys and small lawn care and landscaping crews. Schedule, invoice, and organize all in the same place. We also have a mobile app and integrate into QuickBooks. Sign up at earthapro.com with promo code thelawnhustle11 for a $50 Amazon gift card, 10% off, and personalized onboarding. EarthaPro, you run the outside work, we run the office.
And we're back with Mr. Producer. Let's talk growth.
I just wanted to share with you, Andy, before we talk growth, I met Peter and Courtney at an event in Atlanta, your EarthaPro sponsors. They were two of the most genuine people that I have met, and I just wanted to congratulate you on having them as a sponsor and let others know that my interaction with both of them was two thumbs up, and I think the world of them.
They are great people. They just are so real and authentic, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with them. But once a podcast has launched, how do you actually get people to listen? What can we do to increase our listeners as podcast host?
I'd like to think that that's not my problem. That's your problem to figure out that. But although people are not necessarily hiring me to market their podcast, I do have a lot of experience in marketing these types of ventures in the past. And so I think some of the best ones are making yourself available to other podcasters in the community, having them on your show, offering yourself up to be a guest on their show, taking advantage of all the free publicity that's out there through some social media. Certainly makes a lot of sense to get out there and you put all this time and effort into a show and then you don't let anybody know about it. I do not subscribe to the if you build it they will come philosophy. That may work in a few situations, but as a general rule, your work is just getting started once the podcast is done, because you've then got to let people know that it is out there and available. I know one podcaster that I'm working with runs announcements for other podcasters that are also in my ecosystem. He runs a little announcements encouraging his audience to go and check out these other podcasts. So if you like what you're hearing today on my podcast, you need to check out this podcast. So if you work together as a team to help one another, that's one way of building the audience. And then when you're given the opportunity to be on a panel, to speak at an event, or just to be at an event where you're able to say, hey, I'm Mr. Producer and I've got a podcast, then all of a sudden you've just met 15 people, seven of whom might check out your podcast and three who might become regular listeners. So I don't know that there's an easy formula if you don't have money to spend. And I don't think most of the people we're talking to are in the business of spending advertising dollars to build an audience. So it really is bootstrapping through all the available means of word of mouth and finding people that can become your evangelist. I think Paul's a good example. As people have enjoyed his content, others have said, you've got to hear the Green Industry Podcast. This guy's got great interviews, and he seems like a down-to-earth person. But the truth is, Paul was always available in those early years at events. He was personable. He was showing up at, back when it was the GIE, and showing up at Equip, and showing up at Lawn Care Life and L'Entrepreneur Academy Live. And sometimes it's just putting yourself in front of people and having them say, I like this guy. I'm going to check it out.
Well, is there a skill that someone like me can develop to help our podcast immediately? Is there something we can do to help us as host grow our show?
I do think it all starts with the quality of the show. So making it's better to have, and maybe there's some divergence of opinion here. I know I've talked a lot about just authenticity, and yet sometimes authenticity can present itself as a train wreck of a podcast, and not everybody has the time to listen to a train wreck of a podcast. Maybe I'm old school just because of my background, but I sometimes think it's better to have one quality episode than it is to just keep pushing out episodes. So the starting point is to make sure that every episode you put out is the best that it can be, because that's what's going to keep somebody coming back week in and week out. It's like a television show. If there's a new television show and you watch the first episode and it blows, you're not coming back. But if that first episode was really good, you set the DVR to record it, and you come back for subsequent episodes. I don't know that there's a magic bullet to growing the audience outside of just those little bootstrapping steps that I talked about, unless you want to start spending ad dollars on Facebook ads and Google ads. But again, most of us don't have that type of money laying around.
Where do you?
I will say too, think of all the other ways you can repurpose your podcast. And podcasting gives you the ability to have a video podcast, an audio podcast. You obviously can break things up into short clips that can be used on social media. You can run the podcast through a transcription service like Otter.ai. You can then turn that into a blog post. And if you do enough of those, you could turn that into a book. If you've had enough interesting conversations with people and you get the transcripts from those conversations through the use of artificial intelligence, you can then have it sort of distill down key points that you can come along and craft in your own words and produce more content. So maybe don't just stop at one form of content, but I used to always ask myself, what's the digital application? So back in my radio days, we might create something for the radio, but I would always ask myself, how else can I repurpose this? Where else can this live digitally so that we can get more mileage for our efforts in creating this analog program?
Well, where do you see podcast going in the next few years? Do you think the trend will continue, or is the growth going to slow down? What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that it will continue to grow. I certainly see value in video podcasts for discovery. Being on YouTube allows a lot of people to find you, because YouTube is the number two search engine in the world. after Google, and now that people are searching for things on ChatGPT, maybe it's the number three. But the point is, YouTube has a great value for discovering your next favorite podcast. I don't know that people are just going to sit and watch guys like you and me. I mean, we don't exactly have the prettiest of faces. You know, it's not like the ladies are going to be sitting around just watching you know, these two, you know, hulk of men for our good looks. But somebody might find your video podcast, recognize that you have an audio podcast, then when they're on the mower, spend time listening. So although video has become sort of the flavor of the month lately, I think it will continue to be because it does help with discoverability, but I think there's more engagement with people that are listening to the audio podcast just because it doesn't require you to be glued to the video. And I know you can also do the same thing with YouTube, but that might still be dependent on a solid internet connection, whereas an audio podcast gets dumped into your phone and you don't have to have an internet connection to listen to that. But going back to my original comments about nothing being as powerful as just human interaction and the human voice, as the world continues to fragment, there's always going to be somebody that wants this type of content. Going back to the old Sox podcast analogy, I want what I want when I want it, and I'm going to find somebody talking about what I want. And to be honest, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, etc. doesn't always provide what I want. The radio these days certainly does not provide what I want. It's nowhere near as interesting and as exciting as what radio was for me in the 70s and the 80s. That's another subject, though. But I'm still optimistic that podcasting has a long, long runway.
That is so good. I appreciate all of your insights and your knowledge in the podcasting world. And I appreciate what you do for the green industry, the work that you put in to produce all of these podcasts, to give me something to listen to help me be better. Because I want to be better today than I was yesterday, and better tomorrow than I am today. So I appreciate Mr. Producer, and I appreciate all that he does for the green industry. Are we missing anything? Are we leaving anything out? Is there anything else you would like to say?
I truly love this community. This community has embraced me wholeheartedly. Everyone that I've met have been salt of the earth type of people, sort of my tribe. I did have a lawn care business when I was 14. Going off on a tangent here, it lasted for about 2 months. My father sort of forced me into it, and after I ran over 1,000 trees that had just been planted, little bitty trees that had just been planted by an Eagle Scout trying to get his merit badge, my father summarily fired me from the job that he forced me to do. So maybe I do have a, I'll have to tell that story sometime down the road, but that was not one of my brighter shining moments. But the community has been great. I love knowing that whatever role that I play is changing people's destinies, their financial futures, becoming better business people. We need more people that have great work ethics today. That's sort of disappearing from society. And I found that the lawn care community is not afraid of hard work. And I just wanted to take a moment and thank everybody that's ever listened to a podcast that I've produced or been kind to me at Equip like you have been. I'm very grateful. My financial future has been changed by being associated with Paul and serving him well. It has opened up doors to me that would not have been opened. And now I'm working with, 14 to 15 different clients and making more money than I could ever imagine. So I'm grateful for that. But I think it started by finding somebody that I could serve well. And I encourage you, serve people well, and you'll be amazed at the doors that will open to you.
That is such great advice to all of our listeners, because we are servants, and you want to serve your clients, your community, with a spirit of excellence, and do everything you can to the best of your ability. You know, I go to a scripture that says, you know, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. So when I go to mow somebody's yard or install mulch, I feel like I'm not just mowing Mrs. Smith's yard. I'm mowing God's yard. That's how I try to do the job, because I want to do everything unto the Lord and be pleasing to Him, to my clients, to my family. So I appreciate you. This has been a great episode. If you've enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend in the green industry who is thinking about starting a podcast. Encourage them to get started. That's the advice that Mr. Producer gave us. If you want to do it, get started. You're going to make mistakes. Maybe your sound quality won't be what it needs to be at the beginning, but you'll learn how to adjust it. You'll learn how to work through all the things that come up. Just get started and don't ever quit. So if you've enjoyed the episode, leave us a 5-star review and leave us a kindly worded review, and it helps us. I appreciate it. Mr. Producer, I can't thank you enough for being on the show.
My pleasure, Andy, and I look forward to seeing you again at Equip in 2026.
Yes, sir, we'll be there. We're already excited about it, looking forward to it. And I just thought this last Equip, I didn't know that it could get better than the year before, but this year it did. And next year will probably be better than this year. So it just seems to get better every year. So thank you for listening to the Lawn Hustle Podcast. And just remember to keep growing, keep hustling, and I'll see you on the next one.